service tonight, so we can be back in the house of the Lord. And turn with me to Psalms 62. As follows, says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? He shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, so I. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Salah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. The Lord and a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. Amen. God, we thank you that we have the privilege to come into your presence once again. We pray, Lord, that you just bless our gathering. Thank you for the saints that have arrived. Those that are still on the way, God, let them arrive safely. And God, we just pray that you just take complete control over this service tonight, that you just have your way. Minister to every heart and to every need. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we ask it. Amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we come to worship him tonight. Anybody come to worship him tonight? Come on, put those hands together. Come on. The song says, Jesus in you, love's Jesus in me. Jesus in you, love's Jesus in me. So easy, so easy, so easy. To love, come on, sing with all your heart. But Jesus in you, hey. Jesus in you, love Jesus in me. I said the Jesus in me, love Jesus in me. It's so easy, yes it is. It's so easy. So easy to love the word of God in you. Oh, the word of God in you loves the word of God in me. You see the love of God in you. It loves the word of God in me. It's so easy. Hallelujah. It's so easy. So easy to love. Hallelujah, the love of God in you. Oh, the love of God in you. The love of God in me. The love of God in you. The love of God in me. It's so easy. Yes, it is. It's so easy. So easy.
us to Jesus in the old song we say. To love, come on, one more time. Jesus in you, say, Jesus in you, love to Jesus in me. Jesus in you, love to Jesus in me. It's so easy. Oh, it's so easy. To love, it's so easy, say it's so easy, so easy, oh, it's so easy, so easy to love. Somebody worship him tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. My, it's so easy to love the Jesus in you, loves the Jesus in me. Hallelujah. Sing this next little song. I think it's been introduced, amen, once before. We want to just sing it again. It says, Jehovah, you are the most Hi. Amen. It's a song birthed there in Africa, and I happened to hear it recently when I was in North Carolina, and they did a wonderful job with it. And I said, well, we ought to sing that here in South Florida as well. And I know, I believe Brother Justin sung it once before. So let's try it again tonight. Amen. Jehovah, you are the most high. You are the most high God. Jehovah, you are the most high. Come on, say you are the Jehovah, you are the most high. Say you are the Jehovah, you are the most high. Come on, say you are, say it again. Jehovah, you are the most high. Come on, lift your voice. You are the most high. Jehovah, you are the most high. Come on, say it again. Jehovah, you are the most high. Come on, say. Jehovah, you are the most high. Hallelujah, you are. One more time. Jehovah, you are the most high. You are the most. Jehovah, you are the most high. Come on, here we go. Jehovah, hey. Ah, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, 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 you are the most high. Come on, say, Jehovah, you are the most high. Hallelujah. Jehovah, you are the most high. Hey, you are the most high. Jehovah, you are the most high. Oh, Jehovah, hey, hey. Ah, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, 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 oh, Jehovah, you are the most high. Come on, say, Jehovah, you are the most high. Everybody say, come on, Jehovah. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Declare it, you are the Most High, Jehovah. Hello, hallelujah.
Now just softly, you know, there's people out there that worship all kind of false gods, and they have no problem worshiping their false gods. You know, there's a war going on right now in Israel, and there are people that would tie bombs to their bodies, amen, and just blow up themselves and anybody else because they think they're doing it for their God. We ought to come in here and declare, Jehovah, you are the Most High. You are the Most High. There is no God like you. There's no God that can compare to you. And I'm so glad that I'm one of you. I'm one of your children tonight. Come on, let's declare, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Come on, say, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Come on, say, Jehovah, yeah. Jehovah, 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 yeah. Jehovah, Jehovah, yeah. Jehovah, come on. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Come on. You are the Most High, Jehovah. You are the Most High, Jehovah. You are the Most High. Come on, say, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Come on, say, one more time with your voice, Jehovah. Hey. You are the Most High. You are the Most High, Jehovah. You are the Most High. Come on, say, Jehovah. You are the Most High. You are the Most High God. Somebody worship Him this evening. Come on, hallelujah. You are the Most High God. There is none like you, Father. Hallelujah. So glad I'm yours, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Come on, say, you are the Most High God. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Nobody like you, but you are the Most. Jehovah, hey! Jehovah, Jehovah, hey! Come on, say it again. Say, Jehovah. Jehovah. Oh, Jehovah. Jehovah. Come on, lift your voice. Say, Jehovah. Jehovah. Come on, put those hands together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All glory to his name. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I tell you, we have time for one more. Amen. Before we start calling specials. This is another one that I heard, amen, in North Carolina. Just a really, really wonderful song. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'll introduce it tonight, but we are going to try to make this a South Florida choir, amen, song once we get it. But I think it's something that you all be, amen, able to get tonight. So let's just sing a little bit of it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Words just say there's nothing better than knowing Jesus. Anybody agree with that tonight? There's nothing better than knowing Jesus. He would pick you up and turn your life around. And if anybody ever experienced that, then this ought to be your testimony. There's nothing better than knowing Jesus. He will pick you up and turn your life around. You ought to know him. Get to know him. Hallelujah. Right now, today, just come. Come on, let's sing it again. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. Hallelujah. Than knowing Jesus. Will pick you up and turn your life around. You ought to know him. Come on, get to know him. Get to know him. Hallelujah. I said, right now, today, just come. Come on, let's sing it again. Oh, there's nothing better than knowing Jesus, than knowing Jesus. Any witness in here, he will pick you up. He will pick you up and turn your life around. You ought to know him. Come on. You ought to know him. Get to know him. Get to know him. Right now, today. Right now, today. Come on, 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 right now, today, just come, come on, lift your voice to heaven, come on, come on, say, come on, come on, come on, everybody say, come on. Come on, come on. Hey, lift your voice and say, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on right now. Oh, today, just give me that second verse. Oh, nothing better. Knowing Jesus. Pick you up, turn your life around. Say now, you ought to know him. Get to know him. Get to know him. Right now, today. Hey, right now, today. Just come. Is there another verse? Yeah. There's nothing better. I like these words, and knowing Jesus, and knowing Jesus. He gets sweeter as the days goes by. He gets sweeter as the days go by. You ought to know him. You ought to know him. Get to know him. Get to know him. Right now, right now. Right now, today. Just come. Let's do that one more time. Let's do it again. There's nothing better than knowing Jesus. Than knowing Jesus. He gets sweeter. He gets sweeter as the day goes by. You ought to know him. You ought to know him. Get to know him today. Yeah, right now, today. Right now, today. Just come. Come on, rock it. Come on. Come on. Lift your voice. Come on, come on, say. Come on. Come on, say. Come on, come on. Right now, right now. Today, just come. Come on, lift your voice. Praise him tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Before you have your seats, tell somebody there's nothing better than knowing Jesus. Nothing better than knowing Jesus. And knowing Jesus, hallelujah, he gets sweeter as the day goes by. See, you ought to know him. Glory to God. Get to know him. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, today, just hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, I know we have a number of specials that we want to, amen, have brought forth tonight. And I believe you'll be blessed, amen, by everything that is done here tonight. Our school is starting for some of the youth, whether it's grade school or college or something like that. We're praying that, amen, this weekend will be a good weekend just to strengthen and encourage the believers, and we trust tonight that you'll get something from God. Amen. And so let's just have a amen at this time. Sister Gabby, she'll start us off. Amen. She has a song that she'll sing for us tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. She comes. Amen. Praise the Lord.
following Sister Gabby, we'll have Brother Mike, amen, from Sarasota. He'll come and sing, amen, for us as well. Appreciate that, Sister Gabby. My, my, my. That was all right. Brother Mike, amen. Come at this time and amen. Just bless us.
God bless y'all. It's good to be down here. I just sort of put this together last night, so y'all pray for me. Thank you.
appreciate Brother Mike. Amen. You wrote that, Brother Mike? Bless you. Sister Bethany, amen. She'll come at this time representing the church from Ocala. Praise the Lord. Amen. Following her, we'll have somebody from Okeechobee.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God, my God, my God. Sister Bethany, we really appreciate that tonight. Amen. That's all right. It's good to just be encouraged through song. Man, sometimes when you're going through and you can't find the right scripture to read, but a song will come into your spirit, and amen, from there you just get uplifted. So that's one of them songs that'll just get underneath, just kind of carry you through your trial. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, Sister Bethany. Appreciate that. Somebody from the church in Okeechobee. Amen. Somebody from the church in Okeechobee. Let's have them come at this time. It's good to have Brother Smiley with us tonight. Amen. The pastor there in Okeechobee. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Now, I was told that Brother Andrew wrote that song. Is that right? Man, double talent. God bless you all. We really appreciate that. That was wonderful. All right, Sister Brittany, representing Rapture and Faith Tabernacle. And I believe they got a combined song or something y'all doing tonight. Is that right? Okay, let's have that now. Praise the Lord. Let's welcome them as they come. Praise the Lord. Amen. my God. Thank you, Jesus. So, now there's a lot that happened in that song. All y'all blending, that was good, the harmony. Now that's the first time I heard Sister Christina play. God bless you, Sister Christina. Boy, I tell you, that was quite all right. Man, y'all did a good job here tonight. Amen. We appreciate all the singing. My. Jesus. Tell you what, let's just prepare ourselves for giving tonight. We'll get ready to welcome the minister to the pulpit. I ask the brothers to come. Amen. And I know that we got a lot more singers in here. And we'll see where the service takes us. But I see my cousin Ashley. She didn't say, but she's here tonight. And also, I got my cousin Astrid. Amen. She's here tonight too. But we'll see which way the service goes and see if we can get something at the end. But I thank God for, amen, Lisa and her daughter Astrid just being in, amen, our presence tonight. So good to have them. And these are family members. Amen. Amen. Up north, we thank God to have them just stop by and just be a part of the service tonight. Let's just pray tonight over, amen, our tithes and our offering, and amen, and we'll prepare to give and we'll get the minister out. Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity to bring our offering and our tithes back into the house of the Lord. Truly, it's our privilege. God, you blessed us with work, and now we can come and give to you. We ask that you would use this for the furtherance of your kingdom. And that you, God, would just get glory and honor out of our giving. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. To say, amen, tonight we got Brother Juan speaking for us from Sarasota, and we're so grateful to have him with us tonight. I was telling him a little earlier, from a distance, amen, as one of the older brothers, and I'm not that old, but I know I'm older. I realize that I'm not in the youth group anymore, amen, I've crossed over. But just from a distance, we're constantly just watching to see who God's going to be raising up, amen, next to carry the baton. And Brother Juan is just one of those brothers that, you know, just being young, you just watched him. He just had a way of just taking over the service with his amens and just the way he worships. And I've always appreciated that. A young man that was not ashamed of who he was in Jesus Christ. Amen. And to know that the Lord has called him now to the ministry. And amen, we're just happy to have him come and speak, amen, to the youth tonight. So I trust, amen, that we'll all be blessed by what the Lord has in store, amen, for us. Praise the Lord. I better not go there. I'll save it later. Give me a... Let's all stand tonight. Let's welcome Brother Juan to the pulpit tonight.
And I'm desperate for you.
Come on, sing with all your heart.
And I. Without you,
come on, lift your hands to heaven. Tell the Lord I'm desperate for you,
and I'm desperate for you. Yeah, and I.
need you, Jesus. Can't make it without your love. And I say, come on, sing with all your heart. I'm desperate for you, Lord. Junction, at every joining, there's always a separation. It always has to be a separation. And I believe today we are at that time. There's a separation we see around the message, the ranks of the message. Many turning away. But it's in that time of separation that there is a joining of a bride to a God. A earthly bride to a heavenly bridegroom. And as we see these things going on, we can see them in the scriptures. And we're encouraged, because if we were not to see them in the scriptures, we wouldn't know where to go. But we can see it clear in the scriptures that this is spoken of. Paul spoke of this time. This whole love story, this Bible is a love story. And I believe it's a love letter to the bride. And by the end of the service, I hope you can realize that this Bible is to the bride and to the bride alone. Many play parts in the Bible story, the redemption story. But Brother Branham said redemption is only for those who are redeemable. And I believe this Bible, when it speaks of a bride, it doesn't speak of a Baptist bride. It doesn't speak of a Pentecostal bride. But it speaks of an end time bride that's been called by a message. And when we see ourselves in this Bible, I believe that's when we can be really see who we are. And no matter what goes on, we see ourselves in the scripture and we know God is in control. Bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this moment, Lord. We thank you for this time you've given us now, Lord. And as the worship has gone forward, Lord, we pray that you would have found it pleasing, Jesus. And as your Holy Spirit descends, Father, we can feel your presence, Lord. And we know that your word, Father, you are your word, Jesus. And as your word goes forth, Lord, there is liberty, Father, and you can bring healing, Lord. You are our Savior, our Deliverer, our Healer, Lord, our everything we need, Father. And we pray now, Lord, as that you would take full control of this service, Lord. Anoint my lips, anoint the ears that will hear it, Father, and may you have full preeminence, God. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I know it's a youth meeting, and when Brother Jack told me it was a youth meeting, I was praying, Lord, give me a thought. And he gave me this, and at first I kind of wanted to go another way, but it just kept burning in my heart. Before we start, I want to read you a quote Brother Branham said in Satan's Eden. He says, I wanted to speak to you something, to bring something to enlighten you to the promise of God for this age. Something, not something that somebody else was in some other day, but something, them things are all right, what other people were in other days. We all refer to those, but I thought I would try to bring something to your mind with these scriptures I've got written here that would enlighten you to know to make you a better soldier in the field that you're fighting in now, to learn the tactics of the enemy so that you can block everything before it gets to you. See, that's the main thing, to learn to keep the punches off you as much as you can. So we refer to the scriptures, but I believe in this day there's scriptures specifically for this bride that point out this bride. And when we can enter into these scriptures and we ask God for revelation, he can show us who we are through the Bible, the scripture. Now, in this day, there's come a great attack on this message, where we are now. And Brother Branham preached a message. He titled it, Proving All Things. Today, I'm going to preach on proven. Now, they would have you believe that what's being up, you know, what they're trying to tear down
is the prophet and his message, but I want to tell you, that's already been proven. The prophet and the message is not up to them to decide whether it's proven or not. God proved his prophet and the message. We're not here wondering whether this is true or not. We know it's the truth. God vindicated it. But God now is proving another part of the scripture. See, he proved Elijah. Now he's proving you. He proved the prophet and the message, but the Bible says there would be a bride that would take this message. Yeah. Now he must prove this bride. Yeah. And this is where we are. This is what this challenge has come forward. Not, we're not proving Brother Branham and the message. On, that's God. That God vindicated that. Yeah. But there's a bride that's being proven in this day.
All right now. Amen. All right.
Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 4. St. John chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 16, and we'll go to where I feel to go to. I couldn't decide where to stop. So John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth," speaking of Jesus, "he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." I want you to notice, this is the Word made flesh for the day. Right. And the Word made flesh to the day is taking the Word that's been spoken, and he's reading from that Word. And the whole synagogue, their eyes are fastened on him. And it says, "And he began to say unto them, 'This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes.' And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?'" Here's the Word made flesh for the day, revealed. He's taking the Scripture, and he's identifying himself with the Scripture. Yeah. And he reads the Scripture, and he says, "This day, this Scripture is fulfilled. This is who I am." All right. And the people look at him, because he's just a common man, because he was born there, and he was raised up there. And they say, "Was not this just Joseph's son? Right. We see nothing special about this man." Right. Yet this was the Word made flesh. Right. They could say, "Is this not just Spirit and Truth Tabernacle? Who's this young people? Who do they think they are? Aren't these just young people that go to church, go to work, go to school? Who are they?" All right. See, but he looked at the Scripture and he said, "This day, this Scripture is fulfilled." And we can look at the Scripture and we can say, "This day, this Scripture is fulfilled." I'm going beyond necessarily just the prophet, but we have a place as well. And Brother Branham knew his place. Jesus knew his place. Every prophet throughout the ages knew their place, because God has proven every single one of them according to his Word. And in the end time, there's a bride that God will prove according to his Word. But see, this bride will see the Word, and her and the Word will become one. Because this bride, let me tell you, will be the Word made flesh. Whether they feel it or not, the Word made flesh. "And he said unto them, 'You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in thy country.' And he said, 'Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country.'" So realize, they asked them, "Prove who you are." But they wanted to see a sign. But he had already been proved to them by the Word. Amen. We can take our seats. Now I want to take my time. And I want to turn to Malachi 4 and 5.
Come on, brother.
Malachi 4, chapter 4, verse 5. See, Jesus found the Scripture that identified him. And now we're going to see the Scripture that identifies us. Because there's two groups of people. There's a person and a group of people that are spoken of in this Scripture.
Come on.
But it's a singular, because it's a singular walk.
All right.
It says, "Behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet."
Come on.
Elijah the prophet's been proven. There's a you that must be proven. See, because when Elijah the prophet came on the scene, there was many there that heard him, accepted the gifts, but did not receive the message. But there promised to be a you. It didn't say a time frame. It said there will be a you that will receive this Elijah. And this you must come to a realization that they are this you. Each individual, each one of you young people, older alike, we come to this realization, this speaks of me. Just as Jesus took the scripture and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. We can take this scripture and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. What did Brother Branham say? How does God prove his word? By bringing it to pass.
Amen.
And I'm going to read one more verse. It says, prove in 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 21, it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Now we know in every age, God has raised up a people. Since the beginning, God has raised up a people in every age to identify themselves with this word. There's been a people that take his word in every age and run with it, believe it. You know, there's many unbelievers in this day, and there's many naysayers of people who say this ain't so. But God in every age leaves a people to testify. In every age, God has a people that will take the word for that day. And I want you to realize the revealed word for that day. Because it's easy to believe Jesus in the scripture. The Baptists do that. It's easy to believe Moses in the scripture. The Pharisees did that. But when Jesus came to them, the word made flesh, revealed for that day, it was not written in the Bible. Necessarily the name Jesus. But it had been spoken of him. And he was the revealed word for that day. And the nominals of that day could receive Moses. They believed Moses. But when Jesus himself, the word made flesh, came to them, they could not receive him. There was only a few, a very select few that could receive the word for the day. Because these were predestinated to receive that word. As I go on, I want you to realize how a group of people, special, chosen we are. Because this is not to the whole world. Behold, I send you, Elijah. It did not say, behold, I send the world, Elijah. Behold, I send the church world, Elijah. It said, I send you, Elijah. There must be a people that will identify themselves with that scripture. And I want to identify myself with that scripture. And I will prove to you by this scripture that the Bible speaks of us the whole time. See, we thought the Bible was speaking, anybody could take the scripture and say, that's me. But the Bible was speaking of a certain select few.
All right,
a you.
All right,
now, Brother Branham says in Who is this Melchizedek? He said, if this earthly body be dissolved, this earthly tabernacle, we have another one. See, we have bypassed that.
All right.
To come straight from God, the attribute to be flesh, to be tempted and tested by sin.
On,
see, Jesus, he could sit there and take this scripture and identify himself because Brother Branham said he never bypassed this theophany.
Right.
A theophany is a word body. He came straight through the word to the flesh.
All right.
So he could see the word and he knew this is me. He knew all things. He was God made flesh.
Yeah.
Brother Branham said we were there in the beginning. And we have a theophany body.
Right.
But he said we bypassed it.
Right.
And because we bypassed it by the original sin, we were thrown into this chaos.
Come on, come
now
on.
We're here in flesh having bypassed the word so we don't know all things.
All right.
That's why we could walk when we first started in the Catholic, in the Baptist. Maybe we were just in the world, drinking, smoking, doing whatever we wanted to do. We could be there because we had not yet seen or met our theophany. So we didn't know who we were. We thought we were just brought to this earth to do what we wanted. We thought that all we came to this earth was to satisfy this flesh. But see, there came a time that the word made flesh, revealed for this day, spoke out. And Brother Branham typed it like this, a mama eagle flew by. And he says, there was that baby eagle in the chicken coop with the chickens. And Brother Branham said, those chickens were denominationals. And he says, there they were, and the chickens were feeding on the dung, and they were clucking and walking around. And here this baby eagle, there, brought there, not by choice, but they fell to that chicken coop. It wasn't her choice, the baby eagle. And there sits the baby eagle, and she sees the chickens. She sees them doing this. They claim Christianity, yet they live like the world. And she said, something's not right. And then one day, as they're sitting there, I just can't eat this dung. This isn't for me. Something's not right. She hears a scream. And that scream was the mama eagle. That scream was this message of the hour. See, because this message of the hour wasn't brought to mix us back with them. It was brought to pull out a people from denominations. We have nothing to do with denominations. They are the shuck. We are the seed.
Hey, come on.
You see, the word Elijah came to you, to a special class of people, came to pull out, says, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of their sins. So there's just the baby eagle, and a scream goes off. And something just pulls. You know, they heard maybe a witness, somebody witnessed to them, and said, have you not heard God sent a prophet? But I didn't think prophets still came. They said, well, look in the scriptures. God promised in Malachi 4 that there'd be a prophet and Elijah come. And you read it, and at first it just seemed incredible, yet so contrary to everything you've ever been taught. That was the eagle scream. In that moment, let me say something. You're sitting here today. Many of us may have been raised in this message. But we're sitting here today. And Brother Branham said, the evidence of the Holy Spirit is receiving the word for your day. And we're sitting here. And we've heard this cry. I want you to realize why this scripture identifies me, Brother Jack. Malachi 4 says, behold, I send you. Because when I realize, hey, listen, I accepted Elijah, what does that make me? Makes me you. There's no more question about it. Because only one person would accept it. Where does that, what does that do for me? It places me directly in the scripture. It's no longer a Bible that I read as the nominals read. And something out here, I believe it. But all of a sudden, I'm placed right in the scripture. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. I no longer am just reading a Bible as they do. Yes, Jesus saves. See, preaching Jesus of the cross is all right. We need it. But this day, he promised that you and Elijah. And when I can realize that I have received Elijah, not by intellect, because many intellectuals have received it and then turned away, but in my heart, I have received it. That places me directly in the scripture. That places me in the word. So what does that make me? Word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14 says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We are the body of God. Let's not separate ourselves no longer. You see why they attack this message? You see why they come against this? This message identifies the bride. No other message can bring you right to the word. No other message can bring you to the place where you realize I am a part of that word. So we came here to be tempted, though, because at first we did not know that. See, Jesus knew from the beginning he was the Word. He came through Melchizedek. We come here to be tempted and tried, because every word of God must be proven. You know, I'm no longer, Brother Branham read a quote, said something, and I brought it out here because it disappeared from my iPad. In the first seal, he says, now watch. He said, it would be known in the last day, but it comes forth in a church symbol. Do you understand it, church? It comes forth in a symbol of a church that they know there is a seal. But just what it is yet, they don't know, because it's a white horse rider. And it only is to be revealed in the last day when this actual seal is broken. Broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. Right. Notice, that just makes me tremble. He says, I hope that the church truly understands it. And now here's what I wanted to read. He says, you people, I'm going to call you bride. All right. That you'll understand it. Right. I'm not here dealing with Ishmael. I'm dealing with the royal seed of God. And I'm here to tell you that's who you are. You say, well, Brother Juan, I don't feel it. I fail. I do this. Behold, I send you, Elijah the prophet. But I constantly make mistakes. I don't feel sufficient. Behold, I send you. What are you hearing this moment? The message of that Elijah, which is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't feel worthy. Behold, I send you. Behold, he sends me. Amen. I've been spoke of in the scripture. Amen. We've been spoke of in the scripture. Amen. So we came here to be tempted and tested. Every word of God must go through a testing time. Take this off. Every word of God must go through a testing time. Because we don't know from the beginning, we were in a chicken coop. But there comes a time that it must be tested. And now Brother Branham in the message spoke several times, but primarily three birds. Spoke of a chicken. He said that's the denominationals. Then he spoke of an eagle. That's us. That can fly high. But then he spoke of a hawk. And he said, this chicken can't get any high. He said, the eagle can fly, but the hawk can fly too, he said. But it comes a time where the hawk is flying with the eagle. And they got so high up into the heavenlies, he says, the eagle's made for that. The eagle is pressurized to go that high. But he says, there comes a time where the hawk isn't made to go that high. And he says, the hawk falls apart. Why are they falling apart? Because they weren't eagles to begin with. They were hawks. They weren't made to go as high as we're going right now. They weren't made to hear this message. They can't identify themselves with you. Because they are not eagles. They weren't born eagles. They thought they were eagles. And as long as everything was fine, it was okay. But there comes a pressure. And this pressure proves two things. Because I want you to realize, God knows that he chose you, Brother Mike. God knows he chose you. When you were born, this wasn't God choosing you when you came to the altar. From the beginning, God knew you. So when you were in sin, God knew you. When you were lost, God knew you. So God knows. Even now, you may sit in church. God knows. You may not know. God knows. So God isn't here proving his word to himself. Because God knows his word. It can't fail. God's proven it to two groups of people. He's proven it to you because he needs you to realize who you are. And he's proven it to the devil. The devil that in the beginning has never believed when Jesus came on flesh. They said, is this Joseph's son? They said, heal the people. Get thyself off the cross. Never has believed because it comes in such a simple way. It comes in a storefront church. It comes through a message of a prophet who had a seventh grade education to a people who are not necessarily intelligent. So simple, yet so real. So simple, yet the word of God. So he's not proving it to himself. I want you to realize God's not afraid of losing you because you can't be lost. God's not afraid that you'll fall away because you can't fall away. You may be afraid. The devil may strike you with thoughts, am I next? God's not worried. But I want you to realize this pressure, what differentiated between the hawk and the eagle was when they got high enough. See, as long as they were right here, it all looked the same. But they get to a certain height, and all of a sudden the difference is shown. God proving, I want you to realize this falling away, you know what this falling away does for me? Proves to me who I am. Because I can read in the scriptures in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 where Paul says there will come a falling away. So this isn't strange to us. Young people, listen, this isn't strange. Don't be afraid. And when the devil comes to you and tells you you're next, say, he sent me, Elijah. You speak to him. You know, Brother Branham was in his car one time and he says he turned on the radio and there was this man speaking of an unbeliever. And he said the unbelievers started saying how Jesus isn't true and God isn't real. And Brother Branham, the prophet of God, sat there and he says the devil came to him. And he said the devil started telling him God ain't real. See, you think that's your thoughts. You think you're sitting there doubting yourself. But Brother Branham said the devil came and started telling him that. And you know how he defeated the enemy? He said, Satan, you say God ain't real. But who changed me from what I used to be? Who saved my soul? Who gave me life eternal? Who has changed my desires? I once desired the world. Now I desire this word here on a Saturday night. Who changed me? Hallelujah. See, it's not up to the devil to decide. Brother Branham said, God says you'll believe. Satan says you won't. You decide. I choose to vote with God. See, because who changed me when I was in life of sin? Who changed me when I lived in fear? Who changed me when I lived in fear of falling? Who came down and sent his word and healed my diseases? Who forgave me of my sin and brought me out of the miry clay? Who broke my family chain? Who made me different than my family? I didn't do it. But the word has done it. Because behold, I send you, Elijah. Not them. Behold, I send you. It's personal. Brother Branham says, every generation has its chance at a revival. Yes. But just as Jesus standing there, I'm getting us to a place, church, where Jesus stood up and said, This day, this scripture is fulfilled.
Right.
The bride can rise up and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled.
Amen.
I am the Word made flesh.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Are we not?
Amen.
Are we not you to whom Elijah came made flesh? The Word spoke. God speaks and it goes around. But it must come and be made flesh. It must be manifested.
Amen.
Are we not the manifestation?
Yes, sir.
How Jesus says, you don't believe me. Well, look at the scriptures. Don't they speak of me?
Yeah.
Cannot the bride say, look at the scriptures. Don't they speak of us?
Right.
The world won't see it. Church, the world will not see it. Don't count on them to see it.
Right.
But the scriptures speak of us.
Woo.
So God knows his word. God knows his children. God's not going to lose any of you.
Amen.
You think you're going to be lost, and the devil thinks that he can destroy you.
Right, come on.
But God knows, because God knows all things. Satan doesn't even know all things.
Right.
So God's proven it to two people, you and to the devil.
Right.
And it's through this pressure. You say, why are we going through what we're going through, the ranks of the mess? Because this pressure, it's through this pressure that the bride comes to see exactly who they are.
Right.
See, because before this, we're all mixed. But when that hawk falls apart, like the prophet said, the eagle soars on higher. See, when Jesus came and Judas was going to betray him, Jesus said, go on out and do what you're going to do. As soon as Judas left, Jesus started preaching to the disciples. Judas never heard this message. Judas never heard this message today. Judas never had the anointing that the bride has this moment. Because Judas, Brother Branham said, when it came to that time of the eagles climbing up higher into the second room, he said Judas showed his true colors. Before a rapture of the bride, Judas shows their true colors. They can't be partakers of this. Brother Branham says, in proving his word. Now I want you to notice, he does it that way in every age. He does it every time by the same method. He has to take believers, and then in order to have believers to meet the word, he's got to predestinate it to that age. You see it? He's got to predestinate this thing to be there to meet the challenge of the age. Did it get you? Did you feel it? Did you see it? Do you understand it? That's what's happening today. So he says he predestinates a people and a message to meet the challenge of the age. Then he says, did you get it? And he says, that's what's happening today.
Right.
He predestinated it to this by his foreknowledge when he predestinated it in Malachi 4. He didn't say Malachi 4, Elijah. He said Malachi 4. Remember, there's two groups of people there.
Yes.
Right. He said it's got to happen. When he came over and predestinates anything to happen in his word, he had to prove his word to be so. When he predestinates anything to happen, says it will happen, he knows that seed will be there just at that time. He predestinated a bride. She is going to be there. The world wants to destroy this. The fallen wants to destroy this. But no one can stop God's word. God speaks, no man can stop it. Satan can't stop it. So if God spoke of a bride, there must be a bride. There will be a bride, and she'll rise up. The devil can't stop the rising of the bride. The fallen can't stop it. The intellect, the internet, it can't stop the bride. It cannot stop the word of God, because the bride, you are not just a person that says, I'm the bride. Realize, you are the Word made flesh.
Yes.
You are the Word today. School's about to start. When you go to school, you humbly, but you are the Word made flesh.
Right.
You say, how do I know? Listen, Jesus didn't have to walk around trying to produce. He didn't walk around reading the scripture and saying, okay, I have to produce this so they'll believe me. Jesus just simply lived. Jesus just simply walked. Jesus, all he did was live his life to the glory of God. He did not have to be concerned about fulfilling scripture. He was scripture. So Jesus just walked, lived, talked, acted, and scripture was fulfilled. He didn't have to try to, but Abraham says, a sheep doesn't manufacture wool. It simply produces it by its nature. Jesus walked, you walk. At school, at work, you just walk. Don't worry about, I have to reach this place. You just give your life to God and walk, and the life produces. And you'll be walking, and scripture will be fulfilled. Not because you made an effort, but because you are the Word. So scripture follows you. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I don't have to make an effort. I just believe. I just live and it happens. In my life is scripture being fulfilled. Your life, as you live your life, no matter whether you feel it or you don't feel it, you are fulfilling scripture. They're fulfilling scripture as well, I want you to realize. But here we are. Ruth, as was her hap, she just happened to be in Boaz's field. It wasn't by choice. I didn't decide. It was just what it was. So scripture follows us. We live our lives, and in the living of our lives, that scripture is fulfilled. This is what I want to get to you. You think you're insignificant. You're just a young girl, a young man. I'm no preacher, no deacon, no song leader, no this, no that. I can't sing, whatever. Although most of y'all can sing. You say, I'm just going to school. What am I? You realize, yes, you're just going to school. Yes, you're just living your life, going to work, doing this, doing that. But Jesus, they said, is not this Joseph's son? Think about it. Jesus' ministry was 3 years. So for 30 years before that, did he not just live his life? Brother Branham, he just lived his life. He just gave himself to God, and God brought to pass scripture. You realize God is in control of the scripture. We're not in control. God will make sure his word comes to pass. I don't care if the devil says it ain't going to happen. I don't care if the devil tells you you're not a child of God. You have received Elijah, which places you in the scripture as a child of God. And you don't have to worry. You just got to give your life to God. You just have to surrender to God and lay everything else aside, and God will start bringing forth the word. I don't have to fear falling. You don't have to fear falling. You don't have to be afraid that you're going to make a mistake. You just give your life to God. Trust him, and he will bring you to where you are, because God guards his word. So the Lord, in every age, he has had a people. Because in every age, there's a word that must be fulfilled. You see where we are? We're at the end of the scripture. Amen. We feel like our lives are just so huge and our problems are massive. We're at the end of the scripture. Come on. We're not the first ones that have walked this road. Right. We're not the first ones that have been rejected. We're not the first ones that have been hated. Right. Yeah. But God, in every age, chose a people. All right. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 6 through 10, says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, that believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner and the stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. This is where we're at. It's a rock of offense. But it says, to you that believe, it's precious. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. See, because in time past, you hadn't heard from your theophany. In time past, you were in this world. But he says, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. So God in every age has a chosen generation. This isn't a random drawing. God didn't sit there and just randomly decide that you would be in this age, you know, and Joshua would be in with Moses. Joshua would have to believe Moses' message, and we would have to believe Brother Branham's message, Elijah. God didn't just randomly choose this. You see, God, Brother Branham said, for the challenge of the age, he predestinates a word and a people to receive that word, because he must have a witness. So this isn't just random. We're not here in this time where there's a falling away and it's this struggle because it's random. But God chose a special group of people. A group of people. See, because in Moses' time, they didn't have a Bible necessarily they could point back. But God in this day placed it in the Bible and chose a people that would be able to look in that scripture and identify themselves just as Jesus identified himself. This is what I'm getting to you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in the prophet, in his people, in the preacher, in the listener, in the song leader, God in it all. This isn't us and God over there. This isn't a split three trinity. And it also isn't us with God out there, you know, just haphazardly. This is God in it all. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So, the proving time. Where we are. My title is Proven. I'm not talking about Brother Branham and the message. That's vindicated. I'm talking about a bride. A people that will take this message, take this word, and believe it, because the Bible spoke of a people that would believe it and would be raptured. Amen. That would, as Enoch, the seventh from Adam, walk with God, have a testimony, they pleased God, and they were not. Amen. A special group of people that would be able to have a rapturing faith. Yes, you know why this message is attacked? Where did Brother Branham say rapturing faith was? In the tapes. They don't want, the devil don't want you to have this rapture of faith, but that's where it is. Amen. And there would be a people because God said it. So in every age, Satan comes in as a flood, the Bible says. Now I want you to realize, it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in as a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. So God lifts up a standard. But if you read the meaning of that word standard, it says, to be displayed. Right. All right. So when the enemy comes in as a flood, the spirit of the Lord will be displayed. Hey, yes, sir. Now, this spirit to be displayed on this earth must have a vehicle, right. A vessel, a people that will believe it and yield to it. Yes, sir. So in this day, when the enemy's coming in as a flood, see, they're fighting harder than ever before. Why is it, church? Come on. We are getting so near to the end. Yes. I know, because as I read these scriptures, things just start opening up. As you listen to the message, things start opening up. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples after Judas left the room. This is where we're at. There'd be a falling away. See, we've read it all our lives. We've seen people turn away, but there's never been at this manner how so many go. So many are just swept away. We can see ourselves in the scripture. Do you get it? Do you see that this is no longer a Bible that I just read to get good thoughts? But I am now being identified in the scripture. I can see myself not only in the scripture, in the Malachi, but I can see my time. I want to read it for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Brother Branham said when the bride knows who she is, she'll be an invincible army. He said the rapture were to go. The eagle anointing for this last stage was on the prophet. But when the prophet, the flesh, goes off the scene, the Holy Spirit and the eagle anointing continues on. This the fivefold ministry now. They have the eagle anointing. God is using men. Not prophets per se, as Brother Branham was, but men that have taken this revelation of this message, no other revelation, and have clung on to it and believe it. Because these people, the Bible says in Revelation 10, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, but it says, but you must prophesy again before many tongues, nations, and people. He says, eat the book. So there would be a people that would eat the book. Now I want to read to you where we are. 2 Thessalonians. The devil fought me a lot this week. Because he doesn't want us to know who we are. Come on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now as I read this scripture, think of what's going on today. And tell me, are we not living in scripture being fulfilled? The denominational churches have no idea about this. Brother Branham says, the bride has food that the nominals know nothing of. There is a difference. There is a difference. Balaam stood there with the Moabites. Moses stood there with the Israelites. Brother Branham said Balaam was just as fundamental. But he said there was a difference. And what was the difference? The shout of the king was in the camp of Moses. Moses was a prophet. Balaam was a prophet. Balaam had many signs. The anointed ones at the end time. But the shout of the king, the word of the Lord, the people of God, the predestinated, were in the camp. So there is a difference. The world and the devil today, there's a Balaam spirit that wants to mix us with the denominations. But you realize the denominational system is Antichrist. The message today was, come out of her, my people. It never said, go back. But God would pull a people out of a denomination. God would pull a people out of death, spiritual death. God would bring a people, raise a church out of a church. Brother Branham said, there's been churches, churches, and brides, brides, churches, brides. He said, but there would be one bride. One that to you has sent Elijah. One that would accept the word for the day, regardless of what the intellect says, regardless of what the devil says. A bride, he said, just as Eve, in a perfect garden of God, Eden, Satan came and deceived. He said, God's going to prove to the devil that in Satan's Eden, there will be the second Eve that will not turn down the word. But in the midst of Satan's Eden, in the midst of intellectual Christianity, there would be a people that would, by faith and faith alone, take this word, whether it's pleasing to my emotions, whether my mind agrees with it, whether my emotions are right, that would not take the intellectual gospel of the devil, but that would, by faith, take this word and believe it. In the midst of a scientific age, would believe it. Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord. I know it's a youth meeting, but I know how the devil attacks me.
Yeah.
And I'm a young person.
Yeah.
So I know the devil's attacking all of us the same.
Sure. Right.
From old to young.
Right.
And I want to bring this. I believe the Lord wants to bring this because he's the dissolver of all doubts.
Right.
The devil is coming against the bride today.
Right.
And just as the serpent came to Eve and started saying, yea, hath God said.
Wow.
What did Brother Branham said was the worst lie. He said 99% truth, 1% false.
Right. Yeah.
That's what the devil didn't see. The drunkards ain't going to deceive the bride.
Right.
The Bible said to be so close and deceive the very elect if it were possible.
Right.
So it's not possible. But I want you to see that the enemy we're fighting today isn't necessarily a worldly, as we would think worldly in the bars and whatnot, but it's a serpent that came to Eve and said, God has said, ye shall not die. And he spoke the word and he lied 1%, Brother Branham said. And Eve stepped out from behind the message of her hour. The message that her prophet Adam had brought her. God would speak to Adam, and Eve would relay it to Adam would relay it to Eve, and Satan came to draw her out from behind that word. And that's what the devil's doing today. The devil wants you to think you are the same as them out in the world. As you're in school, rubbing shoulders, the devil wants you to think, well, what's the difference between me and them? When you see Christians out there, and they seem to live all our lives, the devil wants you to think, what's the difference? You know what the difference is? Behold, I send you Elijah. There would be an Elijah to a people. That is the difference. That is the word. Now, the world may take a lot of these scriptures, and I got them listed at the end. And they may say this is for us, but this Bible is a love letter to the bride and to the bride alone. They may claim what they want. They may get some blessings. You know, when Eliezer came to Rebekah, the brother got some blessings. But there was one Rebecca that he would bring back. The brother might have got gifts. But there was one Rebecca that he clothed her. He clothed her with the garment to meet Isaac. And Brother Branham said, if I can get the bride still long enough so I can clothe her with this word. They may, listen, the devil tells you what's the difference. They may have gifts. But there was one Eliezer to one Rebecca that was called. Predestinated by God, because Eliezer said, whichever one it be, let her come and give water to me and my camels.
Right.
So Eliezer prayed a prayer, and the predestinated meeting of that prayer came. There was one. That is the difference.
Right.
We have our Eliezer that has brought us to our Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said the rapture is already going on.
Amen.
When the bride knows who she is, the rapture will go.
Amen.
Now it won't come.
Come on.
It's going to go. Brother Branham said we're in the rapture cycle already.
Amen.
So it's brother, Paul says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The son of perdition, the Bible says, was Judas. Judas was typed as the son of perdition. And he was a traitor. He walked with them, turned his back. So he says, there's going to be a great falling away. He says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Remember ye not that I preached of the ecumenical council, how it would get together? Remember ye not that I preached of an age that would so despise God? He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Let's drop over to 11, verse 11. It says, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion. Uh-huh. It's speaking of the fallen.
Right.
That they all might believe a lie and be damned, who believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So that's the fallen, but this next verse speaks of the bride. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. One truth, belief of that truth. So he says there is a falling away. There's a people that turn from the truth. But there's also a chosen generation that he has called and sanctified by belief of the truth. Behold, I send you, Elijah, by belief of that truth. Brother Branham said, tell God you believe in me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Then
you realize the pressure comes. And as I've been saying, the pressure that we are feeling, the mind battle, proves who the bride is. Because the same battle that comes to my mind comes to the fallen's mind. We all face the same exact battle. They're not facing something that we didn't face. They just fell apart. Because they were hawks from the beginning. But the eagles are made pressurized to go up high into the heavens. The eagles are made to resist the pressure. So they didn't face a battle that I haven't faced. But in the faith, in the battle coming to the people, it proves who is a hawk and who is an eagle. And it's been that way in every age. But I want you to realize that the pressure and the proving ends in a coronation. This ends in the coronation of the bride. Because every age has had its giant. You know, David had his giant. David had slayed a bear and a lion. And when he comes to his brothers, the army, and he's coming to bring them food, and he hears a cry go out, not an eagle cry. See, he done heard the eagle cry when Samuel anointed him. But he hears an eagle cry. He's already been anointed king. He's not king yet, but he's been anointed king. And when he comes to the battle, there is the giants. Boasting, yelling, saying, who is this? Is there no God? And there the hawk and the eagle are differentiated. Because there sits Saul, who was intellectual. Saul, who seemed to be the strong man. Saul, who could preach just beautiful. Saul, who could put the word together just so beautifully. And you could say, my brother, that sounds good. There was Saul in his tent, afraid. Saul in his tent, intimidated by a giant. Why? Because Saul did not know who he was. Saul had no representation. Saul was not predestinated to slay that giant. Saul was predestinated to fall apart. But there comes David, a young man. There comes David. And as he walks up, he had no idea. He was just doing his job, serving the Lord. He had some testimonies in his walk with God, caring for the sheep, caring for his dad's business. He was just walking, and there came enemies, and he had slayed them. David just living his life. Just doing what his father told him to do. Bring them food. And as David comes and he hears this boast of a giant, something rises up inside of David. There sits Saul cowering in his tent. But David, a predestinated seed of God, something rises up inside of him. He hears that cry. And he says, who's this uncircumcised Philistine who has defied the army of God? Now I want you to realize, David didn't necessarily know that he could take the giant. He just knew one thing. I've been anointed king by the prophet of God. Therefore, I cannot go off the scene until I take my kingship. I cannot die without becoming king, because I've been anointed king by the prophet of God, and the prophet is his word. Therefore, I cannot fail till I reach my destination. And there he comes down to the giant, and there stands the great big old intellectual giant. And notice again, God's proven it. God knows. God's proven it to David, to Saul, and to the giant. Because God already knows. The giant doesn't believe. He says, who am I, a dog that you send me a child? This non-existent bride who gets together in storefronts and have youth meetings every once in a while, they will take a rapture. They're going to overcome. I expected, you know, a people that would be strong, per se, and perfect. See, the devil doesn't realize that I am perfect by the blood of Christ. It's not my righteousness. My righteousness is filthy rags, but the blood of Christ, which he has no access to, that makes me perfect. And there stands Goliath looking at David. Really? Is this the one? There stand the Pharaoh. Isn't that just Joseph's son? He says, this day the scripture is fulfilled. He just read the scripture and he placed himself in it. Before Moses was, I am. Who is this to say that before Moses was, I am? See, because the Israelites knew Jehovah God as the I am. So when here comes a man in flesh and claims to be I am, I and my Father are one, I am the Word made flesh. He says, but who is this? Is this not just Joseph's son? And there's this Goliath and says, just a child that you'll send me? Is he supposed to defeat me when Saul's afraid of me? And there stands David. He sees that big old giant, and all he knows is, I've been anointed king. I have to take my kingship. Now this giant stands before me, because if the Philistines take over, I won't be king. There'll be no nation to be king to. But here stands this giant in front of me, between me and my kingship. I want you to realize, in the defeating of this giant was David's coronation. He'd been anointed king. But there stands the giant, and David, by faith, run. The Bible says he ran toward the giant, not away. Because David was predestinated and he was being proven. Proven that Samuel had come to them and chosen him to be a king. God had stripped the kingdom from Saul and given it to David. And there David stands and there's this intellectual giant. An intellectual giant, which to us, all it is a pine squirrel. Chatter, chatter, chatter. Now there stands the eagle, just stretching its wings, and there's this little chatter going on, and you're like, what's this noise? Yeah, at first it kind of makes a ruckus, but then when you see the eagle just spread forth its wings, you realize, who's this pine squirrel? This pine squirrel doesn't have the power to fly into the heavenlies. What does he have to say to me? I have eagle's wings. I've been given a message that's been vindicated by God, by the pillar of fire, and it's called abroad this day. And here's this chatter, chatter, chatter. David could stand there. There's this big old giant in the scene, but all he heard was chatter, chatter, chatter. Goliath said, I'll feed you to the fowls. And David's like, what's that chattering going on? Chatter, chatter, chatter. Because that's all the devil is. He's all bark and no action. The Bible says, listen to this. The Bible says the devil goeth to and fro on the earth like a roaring lion. Not a biting lion, but a roaring lion. The Bible speaks of Samson. He says that as he walked by, a lion roared. And what did Samson do? Tore him to pieces. So here comes this mindless chatter. A lion that all he is roar and no bite. A lion that wants to make you afraid that you're going to fall, that your family's going to fall. But all he is roar. He can't do a single thing. And there David stands. And I'm sure David realized that, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? He has no power over me. I'm anointed king by the prophet of God. I'm anointed queen by the prophet of God. Because behold, I sent you, Elijah. So David runs toward the giant. And there's the armor bearer. There's the armor bearer. And you know, the Bible doesn't say much about the armor bearer. Once the battle actually engages, you don't hear of no armor bearer. You don't hear of the armor bearer being slain, because I take it he flew. He left. He's gone. He's seen something in that David. And he said, this man means business. And before you know it, Goliath making his great roar. Before you know it, this insignificant little bride of Jesus Christ brings this giant down to the ground. David just takes by faith. And Brother Branham said he slung the stone. And he says God must have taken that rock by the hand of God, because there was only one place that would defeat him. And Brother Branham said he must have taken God by the finger of God, grabbed that stone, and just guided it like a missile. Straight. You see, God's all powerful. See, I heard of a testimony, Brother Danny spoke it, of an Israelite. What's going on now? He says they were sitting there, and they're shooting missiles. And he says, the missile's coming. He said, a strong east wind blew that missile out of path. And the man said, God is real. See, that same God that took that missile and blew it across, grabbed David's stone and aimed it straight at the giant's forehead and brought him down. And it's the same God that keeps us. The same God that delivers us. The same God that fights for us. Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And notice, after David slew this giant, what song do they start to sing? Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000. Before the slaying of the giant, he was just bringing food to his brothers. A shepherd, not really known, though he had testimonies. But after the slaying of this giant, whatever giant is in your life, you have every authority by the word of God, because you are you of the Bible. Therefore, heavens and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. You are the word made flesh. You cannot pass away. You are eternal. There's no death to a Christian. Therefore, whatever giant is in your life, all this chattering, all this roaring, a lion that goes by roaring, every morning you wake up and there he is to roar, constantly roaring. The day you realize, and let that be today, that all he is roaring and no bite. He has no power over a child of God, not even death. No power. Saul has slain his thousands. David has 10,000. Because Saul wasn't made to slay 10,000. Saul could get up to 1,000 and then fall apart. But this David, the eagle, not only could he slay 1,000, but he could slay 10,000. And he was anointed king, and he could take his kingship and rule. Rule on this earth. We don't have to wait till we get there. Every devil has been placed under our feet already. See, because the Bible says that he's raised them up till every enemy placed under his feet. Are we not the body of Christ? So David, an insignificant little child. You know, an insignificant, but the Bible tells the story of the little cousin, you know, barefoot, washing all the dishes. And there was the beautiful cousins, you know, beautiful Baptist church and beautiful all that. But to only one of them came Elijah. Only one of them. And it wasn't to the beautiful ones. It was to the one with character. So David's coronation was in the slaying of the giant. And now I want you to notice, we are so close to the end.
Come on.
Brother Branham said, the stabilizers have been set. He said, there's great fearful waves approaching. But he said, we'll crest every wave. And he says, just over yonder, that wave is the shore. You see, Moses had his time. Joshua had his time. David had his time. Paul had his time. This was all God manifesting himself in flesh, condescension of man. And in this day, God condescends and lives in a bride. Not a bride separate from God, but the invisible union. And at every junction, at every union, there is a separation. Amen. Now, before closing, I told you I would prove that this Bible is for you. So I've read about David. I've read all these scriptures. Now I'm going to go through quite a few scriptures. And you're going to see this Bible is not for the world. It's not for the nominals. This is for the bride.
Yes, sir.
It says in Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Yeah. Romans 16:25, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation which was kept secret since the world began." The 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God?" In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." It says, "But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." Ephesians 2:1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Philippians 1:6, "Being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Wow. Colossians 1:21, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled." 2 Thessalonians 2:13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God, to you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you to salvation." 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." In 1 John 4:4, "You are the children of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." 1 John 2:12, it says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that was from the beginning. I write unto you, young men and women, sisters, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you." Malachi 4:5. "Behold, I send you, Elijah." So the same you that was in Malachi 4:5 is the same you all through the Bible. They may say, "This is for me," but this Bible is for one you. And that's that one to which Elijah was sent. This Bible isn't for them. This Bible is a love letter to us, because I am you. Every time I read you in the Bible, I know there's a you to whom you sent Elijah. They reject it. We accept it. I'm identified in this word. Amen. And I want to read you the last scripture. Revelation 10:8-11. Identified in the word. "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth as sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." God is bringing his word to pass.
Yes, sir.
God has manifested his word in this day in flesh. The word made flesh, and he's proven it. He proved his prophet in the message. He vindicated it. Now he's proven his bride. And I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Amen.
Psalms 12, 6 and 7, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words." You're all pure because you're the word of the Lord. "As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for God and the unveiling of this word. We can see ourselves in the scripture, Lord. Just as you've seen yourself in the scripture, Father, and you recognize your place, so the bride is recognizing her place, Lord. Because it's no longer a people just reading a book, but it's a people who are a part of this book, Jesus. A people who are a part of the word, Lord, and you've called us to this glorious gospel. You said, behold, I send you. Lord, I identify with that. Because I, not by choice, but by sovereign grace, have received an Elijah ministry, Lord. Then I know that I was spoke of in the scriptures. And God, as we see the world falling apart, we know and we realize that it is part of scripture being fulfilled. Then God, just as the children, Lord, of Israel were in the word and you carried them. Just as in the book of Acts, Lord, they were in the word and you carried them. So, Lord, we are a part of your word, Lord. We're not outside of the word looking in, but we're a part of the word, Jesus. And you keep your word, Lord. Heavens and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away, Lord. You spoke of me in your word. There's a seed inside of me, Lord. This flesh may give us trouble, Father. The young people here, the flesh may give them trouble. But deep inside in their heart, there is a word, Lord, predestinated, Father. A word that is a part of you, Lord, that nothing can take it away, Lord. And we have received this message. God, let us take it and let us run. Father, whatever giants may be in their lives, Father, as they go their places to school in their lives, may they realize that all they must do is live their lives for the glory of God. And you will bring your word to pass, Jesus. You will bring your word to fruition in our lives, Father. And we thank you for that, Lord. Then we know, Lord, it's not him that willeth or him that runneth, but it's God who gives grace. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you now take this, Lord, the words that were spoken. Lord, if it's something that we may not understand, the prophet said, if revelation is beyond you, look up and ask God. He said we ought to pray for revelation more than anything else. Our prayer then, Lord, is give us spiritual revelation, Lord, that we may not only be able to receive this word, Father, intellectually, but let it drop into our hearts, Father, that we may see ourselves in the scripture. We thank you, Lord. But in the face of all of these doubting ages and things that we have went through and live in today, the worst of all, in the face of all this doubt, God goes right on proving his words to be right, as he has in every age. Unbelief doesn't stop God. It doesn't hinder him. I don't care how much the world unbelieves, it's still going to happen. Unbelief doesn't do nothing but condemns the unbeliever. The unbelief will send the unbeliever to hell. It'll rob him of every blessing of God promised to him. But it doesn't hinder God from going right on with a believer. See, unbelief doesn't stop God. It only stops the unbeliever. You say, the sun ain't going to shine tomorrow. I'm going to stop it. You try it. All right? You can't do it. God has set it in order and said it would shine. It's going to shine. That's all. He said it would. There might be some clouds under it, but it's still shining just the same. You can't stop God with that. How does he make his word known to people? First, God knowing there would be unbelievers. Now watch the wisdom of God. Knowing there would be unbelievers and how the majority would be unbelievers, he by foreknowledge predestinated a seed for every age that would believe it. Now you'll notice in there, for each age goes right on with his word, everything right on time. Nothing hinders God. He goes right on. Every click is moving just exactly right. We think sometimes it's not going to work right, but don't you worry. This clock is timed just exactly to the split instant and everything is working exactly right. God's word goes on. God promised a bride. The bride will be. Unbelief does not hinder God. And he promised a rapture, a people that would walk with God and would please God and would be no more, for they would be raptured. A people to whom Elijah would be sent, they would receive him. They would believe his word as the revealed word for the day. God promised it. Unbelief does not hinder God. Don't let the devil tell you that you're not one of his. Don't let the devil tell you that you're an unbeliever. Don't let him place doubts in your mind. You cast them out. The Bible says casting down imagination and all reasoning. Bringing every thought that's contrary to the word under subjection to the Holy Spirit. This is your God-given right. Whatever the mind battle, whatever the giant, it is your God-given right to bring it down under the subjection to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to live life harnessed and tortured by mind and your mind battles and your thoughts and your worries and your depression. Brother Branham said that one of the greatest struggles of this age was nervousness. He says, you don't have to live with nervousness, but you can find your peace in knowing that you've been spoken of in the scripture. It's your God-given right. Whatever you have need of, you don't need a minister to lay his hands on you. You don't need any special man or whatnot. You don't even need to say a special prayer. You just look up to God and say, Lord, I need you. God, I need your deliverance. I need your help. I need your salvation. I need your Holy Spirit. I need your healing. I need your strength. In my strength, I can't do it. Humble yourself. Lord, in my strength, I can't do it. But by your supernatural strength and your word that is spoken of me, Lord, heavens and earth will not pass. will pass away, but your word will never pass. Then, Lord, I place myself there. That is me, Lord. I claim you. Every place in the scripture that speaks of you, it's for me, Jesus. I claim it. It's my God-given right. I believe it with simple faith. Simple faith. He said it, I believe it, so it is done. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of trial, regardless of emotion, regardless of feeling, regardless of what your mind tells you, but your heart believes and you stay with that. Don't let the devil shake that from you. I don't care how you feel, whether you feel the anointing, whether no matter what, you believe the word, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. Therefore, our salvation isn't based on emotion, because emotion that is high now in a service will be low tomorrow when the battle comes. And if I base my salvation on emotion, then I'll be living in a roller coaster ride. But if I base my salvation on this word, that the word has said, the word has said that he saved me. He has quickened me. He has saved me. He's filled me with the Holy Spirit. I don't care how I feel. I don't care whether I feel it or don't feel it. I don't care what the circumstance. That doesn't dictate my faith. In the Old Testament was Abraham's flesh. He made many mistakes. The New Testament was his faith. He staggered not at the promise of God. And that's how we ought to be, regardless of anything else. I believe your word, Lord. You say, brother, I don't think that's me. You start, Brother Branham said, if you can't quite believe it, he said, you start repeating it intellectually in your mind. You start repeating it. Repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. And he says, till you believe it. He said, if there's an enemy bothering you, he says, you whack that devil with the word of God. In the greatest battle of all, he says, you whack that devil. And he says, at first, if nothing happens, he says, you whack it again. He says, if nothing happens, whack it again. If nothing's going on, whack it again. He says, before you know it, you'll break a hole into the armor. You keep on whacking and it'll fall apart. Don't give up after the first day when it seems like nothing works. You whack that thing again. That devil that would try to drive your mind insane, you whack it with the word of God. And if he comes again, well, you whack it again. Let every time he comes, let it be a good old whack. But you stand on the word, believing the word. For that's where we stand, and that's where our salvation is, that's where our faith is, that's where our rest is. I believe the word no matter what. God bless you, saints. I trust it's been a blessing. I truly believe God's doing something special for his bride. And this time, in the midst of this pressure, he's revealing. There's a hawk that falls apart, but there is a bride that believes this word. And as Abraham, no matter what, they stagger not at the promise of God in their heart. And when you feel like you made a mistake, just ask the Lord forgiveness and move on. But whatever you do, don't stop. That's the church.
How many appreciate the Lord Jesus? Actually my first time hearing Brother Juan speak. I've heard about him, but my first time hearing him speak, and all I can say is, boy, he put the devil in a knot tonight.
Amen. Yes, sir.
A knot that the devil can't get out of. And I just really appreciate just how he brought that. And you know, I pray that that didn't go over our heads tonight. That was a very, very direct message from heaven. You know, directly to a special people. And, you know, everybody that sat within these gates tonight, God had something special for you. Amen. He sent it through his servant. So I tell you, that was just right on time. Let's just give the Lord another hand of praise. I know there was a lot said. Is it Brother Juan is under 25 years old? Under 25? How? 21 years old? The devil is in trouble. We got young brothers preaching like that. The devil is in trouble. Again, being one of the older brothers, it's just, it's good to see young men preaching the word of God like that. Ain't compromising with the devil or nothing. Just telling it just like it is. We've got a true revelation of this word.
church, I'm blessed. I just feel like rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
You know, that was all right. Mother, you've done a good job. You've done a good job with your son. God bless you. Sometimes, you know, we go through things in life and, you know, we don't know how them kids gonna turn out, but he turned out just fine, you know, and just, you know, Satan can certainly fight a young man like this, but we got to keep him in prayer. But tonight, church, we have received from heaven, amen, and, you know, that he was so many things. We're going through the book of Samuel right now, talking about David on Wednesday nights. He come and preach, you know, just a few weeks of our lessons. And then even on Thursday night, I was at a doing an outreach service. And in the outreach service, I began to tell them about, and I was talking about another subject, you know, talking about something there. And I said, you know, let me just kind of just inject this real quick. I said, you know, over in Israel, they're fighting this war. And in the war, they said that they had a bomb that they was aiming at a particular target, and with the calculations on the computer and all that, they know exactly where these bombs are gonna land. So they was aiming at a particular target, and when they shot it, you know, somehow the thing missed. And they said, no, it couldn't have missed like that. What happened? So they said, we're gonna shoot again, you know. So they shot a second time. Said and this time it was reported that a strong wind took the bomb and sent it to the ocean. I say, now that ain't nothing but Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here, Brother Juan, come right back. I mean, I just said it Thursday, and here he is sad. This, my God, God know how to vindicate His word.
Yeah.
God know how to vindicate His word, and I tell you, everywhere in the Scripture where you see the word "you" ought to take it personal.
Yes.
Amen. Take it personal. And that last verse of the Old Testament, very small book in the Bible, most people don't even preach from it, but right there in the last two verses, God said something, and notice now, it's not anybody else, but God himself says, behold, I send you. And I sat there and I said, you know what, if only one person receives the messenger, God's word was fulfilled. If only one person on the earth receives that scripture, God's word was fulfilled. And that person can turn around and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. So when Brother Juan say, I'm the one, if nobody else take it tonight, I'm the one that he was talking to. Right? And I'm not going to let Brother Juan take that by himself. I'm also that you in the scripture. I'm putting myself right there. I believe God was talking to me. Thank you, Jesus, and I'm so glad he talked to me. If you've ever been in church where you done seen it, churches, I hate to say it this way, but it's fake in a lot of places. The Bible say we have a form of godliness, but we're denying the power thereof. It's time to get back to the word of God. It's time to get back to the truth. God bless you. Let's sing a little bit of this song before we leave tonight. I tell you, I just appreciate the Lord Jesus. So I said, we are the generation. We're the chosen generation. Amen. Let's just sing a little bit of that.
We are the generation. We're the combination. The final voice the world will hear. The coming of the Lord is near. Living out the revelation, overcoming sin's temptation. The truth will go to every tongue and nation. Hallelujah. We are the chosen generation. Come on, everybody sing with all your heart. Say, we are the generation. Yes, we're the culmination. The final voice the world will hear. See the coming of the Lord is near. Living out the red, hey, over
truth will go to every tongue and nation. Yeah, we are the chosen generation.
Come on, sing it like you mean it.
The final voice, the world will hear the coming of love. Is near, living out this revelation, overcoming sin's temptation. The truth will go to every tongue and nation.
One more time, one more time. Lift your voice to heaven.
Say, we are. Oh yes, we're the combination. The final voice the world will hear. The coming of the Lord is here. Living out the revelation, overcoming sin. That truth will go to every tongue and nation. For we are chosen generation. Yes, we are. Say, we are the chosen generation. God chose me. Yes, He did. We are. God knew me so. We are the chosen children. Hey, I'm so glad He chose me. We are the chosen generation. Hey, we are the chosen generation.
That we have been chosen. The Bible declares that we are elected. The elect lady. A very unique people that could see all the truth. Think about the scripture in Revelation 3 and Revelation 2. Those various church ages, it says to him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The prophet taught us that there were two churches that were mixed up, intertwined. One church was receiving a rebuke, and the other church was receiving admonition. God, we're glad that we're part of that church that receives admonition. The elect, the chosen. The you in the scripture. God, we're so grateful that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in this hour. There's so many that just don't understand.
But God, tonight you have challenged us. If we don't know and we've never heard these things before, let us begin to look back in the scripture. Even when Jesus came on earth, he told them, search the scriptures. Search it. That's what speaks of me. It speaks of my ministry. Just search the scriptures and see if the scripture said that I would be here to do what I'm doing. Many of them, Lord, could not take the word of God. Yes, they took religion, but they couldn't come into true relationship. Thank you, God, that tonight we could hear from our theophany. That the word could call to us and call us up out of wherever we are and just begin to, amen, cause questions to rise in our hearts. Oh, praise his name. And those questions begin to rise. That's the deep that David spoke about in Psalms 42. That's the deep that calleth unto a deep. And your prophet told us that if there's a deep calling, then there must be a deep somewhere to respond to that cry. So speak to every heart, Jesus. Make it clear what you have called us to in this hour. And let us never be ashamed of who we are in you. God, we glorify you. We exalt you. Bless our precious brother Juan. May you continue to use him for your glory, God. We thank you for a young man that would preach the word of God the way he preached it tonight. And God, may you continue, Lord, to bless his ministry. Keep him encouraged and strengthened, Lord. That he, Lord, would bring the word from heaven that would set many captives free. He might not even realize all that he said here tonight. But I pray he'll see fruit come forth from his ministry tonight. God, we pray that you bless our fellowship that we're about to have, the food that's been brought here, prepared for this occasion. We pray that you would bless it. And bless our time together, Father. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And amen. Give the Lord Jesus another hand of praise. For truly he is worthy to receive all the glory. You can be seated. We have a little hashtag that we started last youth service, and we want you, as you're going out there to Twitter, and you're going to Instagram and wherever else you might go, I pray you go for the right reasons. But when you go, please use this hashtag right here, South Florida Youth, SoFlo Youth. And anything that the Lord might have spoke to your heart tonight from my precious brother Juan, just get it out there. Amen. Just encourage other young people, amen, but make sure you use that hashtag so we can just kind of pull it all together, amen. So next door we'll be going, and there's some food there for us. We'll have some fellowship outside, and amen. I tell you what, this has just been one wonderful youth service, amen. We pray that God would bless you all as you prepare to leave, amen, and go in your respective ways, amen. God bless you. The brothers will come at this time, amen, to dismiss you. Hold on 1 second. Jing in Okeechobee next Saturday at 5. Okay, next Saturday at 5 o'clock, Okeechobee, Florida, youth service. A member of the Paul Jing from Boynton Beach will be ministering. So let's all look forward to being there. That's going to be a blessing. Amen. That's going to be a real blessing. Praise the Lord. Let's keep it going as long as we can. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.